And take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 this morning, we want to look at our plans, our steps, and God's direction in our life. And let's pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, between you and the Lord, right now ask God to prepare your heart to hear His word. Father God, we thank you for your truth. And we pray, Lord, that all that we hear, we might apply, we might respond to, we might be ready to digest and live out truth of your word. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that is struggling with life, I pray, Lord, they may be encouraged. Lord, challenge us with your word this morning. Help us, Father, to see your hand. And I pray, Lord, it would impact our thinking and our living. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask five questions. Five questions for you to think about as we begin. Question number one. Have you ever wondered why you're going through the things in life you're going through, or why you have gone through some of the things in life you've gone through? Have you ever asked, do you sometimes have a hard time, or do you just sometimes have a hard time understanding God's leading in your life? Hard time understanding why He moves you there and there and there and there. Are there times in your life where you do not understand really what's going on? Have you ever been in troubled times, difficult times, and prayed to God and asked God to get you out, and God's left you there, and you didn't know why? And have you ever wondered what God's will for your life is? And if you've ever asked any of these questions, then what I'm going to talk about this morning is for you. And if you haven't asked any of these questions, then what I'm going to talk about this morning is for you to help those who have. So let's begin with number one. Plan your steps. Plan your steps. The Bible makes clear that we ought to think about our steps. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. The word ponder means to make level. Make level paths for your feet. In other words, think about what you're going to do and make your feet, your steps, your path straight, level. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 6 through 8 tell us that the adulteress gives no thought to her ways. She doesn't think about what she's going to do. Joshua, after he had won a great battle against the first town that he had come to in the Promised Land, after he had knocked down the walls of Jericho, he came to a tiny little town and he hadn't prayed about it, he hadn't thought about it, and he lost a great victory. Now, I know there are some people in this church that fly by the seat of your pants. I mean, you just go forward, you go 100 miles an hour, you don't think, you don't give thought to what you're doing, you just go forward. And some of you may do very well at doing that. But let me say, on average, those who plan, those who think, those who set goals, those who make level paths to their feet, on average, do far better than those who fly by the seat of their pants. Make no plans, make no thoughts, and just run. So Proverbs, and I just picked a couple passages here. There are many more I can give you. There are some that are in your outline. Chapter 14, chapter 19, chapter 21, chapter 23, verses in those that tell us that we need to think about, we need to plan, we need to make level steps, level paths that we go to in life. So plan your steps. Number two, be mindful of who controls your steps. Turn over with me to Proverbs chapter 16. We need to plan, we need to set goals, we need to think about what we're going to do, but we also need to be mindful of who really is in control of our steps. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Skip down to verse 9. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. In other words, we think, we plan, we set goals, but it is from God that the answer comes. Now, this does not mean we're robots. It doesn't mean we're puppets on a string. We do make choices. We are responsible for the choices we make. We do have free will. But let me say, free will only goes so far. You know, there's debate within Christianity, within this world, as to how much free will I have and how much sovereignty does God have, and when do those two paths cross and intersect? And does free will mean that I can do whatever I want to do and whatever I want to do is going to happen? And does God's sovereignty mean that I'm just a puppet on a string and I have no choices? Yes. Let me say this. We have free will, and God gives us the ability to choose in life, but our free will never trumps God's sovereignty. We need to plan. We need to think. We need to set goals in life, but understand it is God who's in control, and it is God who makes things and sets things in patterns in the way that God wants them to happen. In fact, listen to this. Now, let's go further. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. In Revelation chapter 9, we are in the middle of the tribulation period, or at least in the tribulation period. Probably at this point near the end of it. This is the time after the rapture, and Christians are caught up into heaven with Christ, and then a 7-year period where God's judgment falls upon this world. And as all these things are all being planned and worked out, I want you to notice verse 15 of Revelation 9. So the four angels who had been prepared, notice this, who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, the year, were released to kill a third of mankind. Now, for one moment, forget about the third of mankind. What I want you to see in this verse is that God had set a plan in action. And God's plan has worked out to the very year, month, day, and hour. Some people say, well, I have free will, so that, you know, I'm in absolute control. Well, think about the ability that God has given every one of us to make choices. And we all make all those different choices. And you think about all the millions of people all around the world making all their free will choices. And think about that throughout all history and all into the future. And yet God's plan is working out to the very year, month, day, and hour. God is in absolute sovereign control. And that is why I can say without hesitation that God has worked in the elections of this country. And for whatever reason, the person who is president of our country for the next 4 years is there under the sovereign choice of God's hand. It is God who raises some up and God who brings some down, but it is the sovereign choice of God. We as Christians do what we believe is right. We work towards those goals. We plan our steps, but the answer and reply comes from the Lord. And the same is true in your life. And sometimes we say, well, you know, things happen in my life and I don't deserve it. Well, really? What would happen if we got everything we deserved? See, the Bible says we ought to plan. The Bible says we ought to, you know, set our life and work towards our goals and try to figure out, you know, where we're heading and what direction we want to go and choose an A over B or C over D. But ultimately, the answer comes from the Lord. Go back with me to Proverbs. Turn to chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. And look with me at verse 21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. We plan, but it's God's purpose that ultimately stands or ultimately is fulfilled. Turn over to chapter 20, verse 24. A man's steps are from the Lord. How then can man understand his way? You know, you ever reach a point in life where you say, what in the world is God doing in my life? And why has all this happened to me? Why am I here instead of there? What's going on in my life? Well, realize you plan, but the answer comes from the Lord. So what's going on in your life is God's direction in your life and God's leading in your life. So ultimately, how can we ever understand what's going on? And you know what? We really don't need to understand. We really don't need to know why. I would say this morning, quit asking in your life, quit asking of God, God, why? We don't need to know the answer. The only thing we need to know is that He does. I would write in your notes Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Lean not on your own understanding. Bob read this morning in our scripture reading, the Apostle Paul was trying to figure out where God wanted him to minister. So he headed towards one city, and the Holy Spirit said no. So he headed towards another city. Holy Spirit said no. He headed another. Holy Spirit said no. And finally, he had a vision from God. The vision was that of a Macedonian man. He said, come over here. Paul went where God wanted him to go. We need to be open to God's leading in our life. We need to be like Samuel and like Isaiah and saying, Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, what do you want me to know? I don't understand why I'm at where I'm at in my life. I don't understand some of the things that have gone on in my life, some of the things that I'm dealing with. Probably may never understand. I don't have to. That's what our Proverbs say. It says, look, we plan, but it's God who leads and God who directs. So how can we understand? So be mindful of who is in control of your steps. Number three. Righteous steps are always better than wicked steps. When it comes to your plans, your direction and walk, righteousness is always better than wickedness. Doing the right thing is always better than doing the wrong thing, and it's always right to do right, and it's never right to do wrong. In fact, look with me at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 28. Proverbs 12:28. In the path of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. Skip over to chapter 15, verse 24. The path of life leads upward for the prudent, that he may turn away from Sheol beneath. Skip over to verse 10 of chapter 15. For there's severe discipline for him who forsakes the way. Whoever hates reproof will die. Chapter 21, verse 16. One who wanders from the way of good sense will rest in the assembly of the dead. Righteous steps are always better than wicked steps. It is always right to choose to do the right thing, and it is never right to choose the wrong thing. When you have a choice between good and bad, always choose good. When you have a choice between right and wrong, always choose right. When you have a choice between the truth and a lie, always choose the truth. Righteous steps are always better than wicked steps. Turn over to chapter 10. Why don't you notice a couple of contrasts were given in the book of Proverbs? Chapter 10 and verse 9. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his way crooked will be found out. Chapter 11, verse 5. The righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight, but the wicked falls by his own wickedness. Chapter 22. Verse 5. Thorns and snares are in the way of the crooked. Whoever guards his soul will keep far from them. You know, we have the choice every day whether to choose that which is right and that which is wrong. Every day when you go to work, I'm sure you're given opportunities to do either the right thing or the wrong thing. When you go to school, I'm sure you're given opportunities to choose the right over the wrong or the wrong over the right. When you are at home, I'm sure you are given the very same choice. Sometimes we think if I do wrong, I can get away with it. Or if I choose wrong, sometimes maybe we think it's the better choice. It never is. It never is. It is never right to hide something from your parents, or parents to hide it from your children, or spouse to hide it from your spouse. It is never right. It is always right to do the right thing and never right to do the wrong thing. Because righteous steps are always better than wicked steps. Why? Well, number four. God is watching your steps. God is watching your steps. Turn with me to chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 21. For man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. Proverbs chapter 5 is probably the greatest chapter in the Bible for, in particular, men, but also women can apply it to their lives, of how to avoid sexual immorality, how to make sure you keep your life pure. And the warning here that we find at the end of the book is a warning about sexual sin. It is a warning to let us know that God is watching every step we take. Someone has said a long time ago that you find a person's character when you find out what they're willing to do when no one is watching. When no one else is around, what are they willing to do, or what do they do when they think no one will ever know what they're going to do? God is watching your steps. God sees everything that you do. God knows it all. Yesterday, my son had a first in his life. He had his first arrest. He had to handcuff a guy out on the highway who was drunk and ran into a car right in front of my son as he's driving down the road. And he had to go get out, and he had to arrest this guy. First time in his life. I'm sure for him, we hadn't had a chance to really talk to him about it, but I'm sure for him it was probably a scary moment. That man may have thought that he could go wherever he went and drink all that he drank, and thought that he could drive down the road and he wouldn't get caught. And there are times in our lives when we think that we can do things, and we think that we can say things, and we think that we can get away with it, and no one's ever going to know. But God knows. Now, that's either a comfort or it's a concern. If your steps are righteous steps, and it is a comfort for you to know that no matter where you go, God goes with you. In fact, if you look at the Bible and you read all about that, you find that God says he goes before you. Before you ever got there, God's been there. He goes after you. He's above you, he's below you, he's on your left, and he's on your right. That ought to be a comfort. Every place, every step you take in life, it ought to be a comfort, because you are taking righteous steps that God is with you. You are never alone. The other day I came to men's night, and while I was here at men's night having a great time, Connie was at home, and quarter after eight, someone rang the doorbell. She went to the front door, looked through the little peephole, no one was there. Then a little while after that, she heard a noise on the front porch, and then she heard a noise on the back porch. She's looking all over, and there's noise going all around the house, but nobody's there. The other day, we were talking to our neighbor, and the neighbor said to Connie, "Did you hear all that ruckus the other night?" Very same night. We don't know what happened. We know something was going on. Someone came up on our porch and came up on our back porch, front porch twice. But you know what? Even though I was here, she was not alone. God was with her. And if you are a Christian, that is a comfort. Everywhere you go, God's there. Now, if you choose the path of wickedness, if you choose to do the wrong thing, then that's a concern, because God is there. God knows if you walk in the bar. God knows if you choose to go down the wrong path. God knows if you choose to do the wrong thing. God knows when you're choosing that wicked thing. God knows it. So for you, that ought to be a concern, because God knows everything you do. So when you think you're all alone and nobody else is watching and no one else will ever know, God does. And there's a day coming when we all stand before God's throne and we will be judged for everything we've done. And God can do that because God knows. Because God ponders, God watches our steps. Number five. With all that in mind, with all of that in mind, we ought to continually examine our steps. Continually examine your steps. Continually look at, continue to think about, continue to examine your steps. Now, I want to give you three things you ought to examine. First of all, you ought to examine your steps, your way, your path. Examine your steps. Turn with me to chapter 14. First thing we ought to examine is our way, our path, our steps. They're all one thing. We ought to think about what we're doing. Chapter 14, verse 12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Chapter 16, verse 25. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it's the way of death. In other words, some people are on a path, some people are walking down a way, and they think it's good, they think it's right, they think it's the thing they ought to do, but in the end, it's death. Matthew chapter 7, near the end of the Sermon on the Mount, which we'll get to in a number of weeks on Sunday nights, Jesus talks about men who will stand before God's throne. And they would talk to God about all the religious things they had done. Maybe like some people in our day and age that will talk about going to church and giving money to the church and things like that. And God will turn to these people and say, look, I don't know you. In fact, when you read the passage, it says, I never knew you. Now, they thought they were on the way to heaven. They thought they were on the right path. They thought their steps were good. But in the end, they were on the wrong path. God says he didn't know them. You know what that means? That means that we can be walking down a path. We can think that we're doing the right thing, heading in the right direction. But if we don't examine what we're doing, we could be on the wrong path. I remember one time I was walking out in the woods with my son hunting, and we weren't sure where we were. We had tracked the deer that he had shot, and we thought we were going to go back to the truck. And so we're walking back. We had no idea where we were going until we got to this one point, and we said, oh, here's the path. So we went left on the path. And we walked down the path, and Gene, you've been to the spot I've been talking about, and we've walked down this path, and when we got to the end of the path, we realized when we took the left, we should have went right, and now we were about 3 to 5 miles from the car, and we had a long walk in front of us. See, we can think we're doing the right thing, but really, in the end, be doing the wrong thing. And I want you to know that's happened to me. Thought I was doing the right thing, but when you look, it actually was the wrong thing. That's why we need to really be examining the things that we're doing and making sure that we're doing the right thing in the right way. Now, not only should we examine our path, but we ought also to examine our motive. Because sometimes our motives can be wrong. Look at chapter 16. In verse 2. Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. See, all our ways in our own eyes look good. They look pure. But if we don't examine our motives, we could get it wrong. Even your own motives could be misunderstood by you or by me. I see people all the time that don't understand their own life. I see people who are amazingly selfish, and if you were to ask them if they were selfish, they'd say no. I see people who are absolutely proud beyond imagination, but if you were to ask them they were proud, they'd say no. They have fooled themselves into thinking that they were something that they're really not. Examine your motives. It's not only the steps you're taking, but it's the reason why you're taking those steps. Let me give you a third thing we ought to examine. We ought to examine our heart. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 21. Examine your heart. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. All of these passages we've just looked at talk about the fact that we can get it wrong and think we got it right. And none of us are above that. All of us, this can be true of. So we need to look at our way. We need to look at our motives. We need to look at our heart, and we need to examine them. And how do we examine them? We examine them by going to the Word of God and examining all of them according to the Word of God, which is one of the reasons why we need to be in this book all the time. Because we can fool ourselves. We can misunderstand our own way, our own motives, and our own heart. Number six. How do we get it right? How do we make sure that our steps are right? How do we do that on a consistent basis? Number six, commit your steps to the Lord. Commit your steps to the Lord. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 16. And look with me at verse 3. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Now, if you have room anywhere there in your Bible next to that word commit, I would write the word pray or prayer. The word commit here means literally to roll. So what it's saying is roll your plans, roll your work up to God. Roll it to God, meaning pray. Pray about your plans. Pray about your steps. Pray about your choices. Pray about everything you're going to do. Commit them to the Lord by praying to God for his wisdom, his understanding, his leading, his guidance, his direction. Pray seeking his will, seeking his glory, seeking to do what he wants you to do. As you commit your way to the Lord, your path to the Lord, trust God that God's going to do what is right in his eyes in your life. Everything you do, every step you take ought to be bathed in prayer. James chapter 4, verse 13 to 17 says, look, don't even plan about anything you're going to do unless you say, if it is the Lord's will. Where you're going to go, when you're going to go, what you're going to do when you get there, if it is the Lord's will. If you are in business, you ought to be doing this all the time. I'm going to make this business plan, I'm going to make that business plan, but only if it's the Lord's will. All I've talked about this morning is not just for those who are in, quote, full-time ministry. It's not just about whether you're going to go to Africa or you're going to go to China to be a missionary. It's about where you're going to work. Who you're going to work for. It's about who you're going to choose to have work for you. It's about where you're going to live. It's about what car you're going to buy, which house you're going to choose. It's about who you're going to choose for a mate, a spouse. It's about every choice in life, every step you take. Proverbs says we ought to plan, think through our steps. We ought to be mindful of who is in control. We ought to take righteous steps, for they're always better than wicked steps. We ought to remember that God is watching everything we do, so we ought to continually examine every step we take. And as we take those steps, we ought to commit them, pray in every one to him, seeking his glory, so that all that we do will succeed, which means that everything we do honors him. Let's pray. Father, help us to trust you. Help us to trust you with every step we take. Help us, Lord, to commit every step we take to you. I pray, Lord, for each person that's here this morning, and maybe some going through troubles and some maybe not understanding where they're at in their life right now. Help us, Lord, to choose the right over the wrong. commit them to you, seek to bring you glory and honor. And I pray that in everyone, we will please you. Father, as we leave here this morning, I pray every step we take this week would be the step that you would want us to take. Help us, Lord, to choose your will. Help us, Lord, to honor you in all that we do and to trust you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we'll ask Rush to come forward as we take our morning offering. And let's pray. Father, as we give to you now, we pray, Lord, that we would be faithful. We pray, Lord, that you would bless what is given. Help us, Lord, to honor you with every single penny. May the steps that our church take be those that are right in your sight. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I don't know if we could kind of pull back from the ball of this earth if we would really want to know everything about our steps. I mean, think if you could kind of sit up in space somewhere, see the past and the future, and you would know every single thing that was going to go on in your life. I don't know if we'd want to know that. So I think maybe there would be some things that we'd say, that's difficult. I think I want to get around that when God knows that that's exactly where we want or should be and ought to be. It's not knowing every step we take that matters, but it's taking every step, desiring to be in the center of where God would want us to take those steps and knowing that he's in absolute total control. And he loves you so much. He loves you beyond what you can imagine. In fact, in Ephesians, Paul prayed that we would grasp the love of God. How deep and how wide and how high it is. And if we could grasp that, I think we would never question anything that ever happened in our life because we'd know beyond a shadow of a doubt that everything that God is doing and all the events, working them all together, are so beyond what we could ever imagine, beyond good than we could ever imagine, that we would just be in awe of God. Every step you take this week ought to be examined, ought to be planned, ought to be thought about, and it ought to be every step that's in the center of God's will. Commit him to the Lord, and the Bible says you will succeed. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Father, we put our lives in your hands. We entrust them to you, knowing you will do what is best. Help us, Lord, to walk in the center of your will. Help us, Father, to bring you praise. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.